Savior. Amen. Well, I was praying about the service today and asking the Lord what He would have. You know, sometimes we preachers, we get what we have, and sometimes that's not what God has. I want what God wants, and I believe you do too. And so I tell you what I want us to do. I want us to just do a little bit of review, and then after that, I want you to be thinking about something, and we'll maybe give a couple of people an opportunity to share with us what God has done in your life along these lines. We've been studying for the last couple of weeks leading up to Easter about Jesus raising people from the dead. Now, the biblical account has recorded that He raised three people from the dead. That doesn't mean that that's all He raised. That's just the record that we have in the biblical account. And we looked at Jesus raising Jairus' daughter. She was a young lady, a little girl, actually, the Bible says, of 12 years old. And she was sick, and you know how that Jairus went to him, and he said, you know, I want you to come, and I want you to heal my daughter. She's very sick. And while Jairus was there with him, they started toward his house, and then there was this woman with an issue of blood in the crowd, and she touched him. And there was a great delay, and I want you to remember that now. There was a delay. And a lot has been made about that delay, but I believe that it was a great teaching time for the Lord Jesus and the life of Jairus and in our life, in your life and in mine, and no doubt in the people that were there in that throng of people. Eventually, when Jesus got through and He healed this lady and He told her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, no sooner than that had escaped His lips than one from Jairus' house came running up and he said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any longer? My, what sad news to get. You know, you've got the Savior, He's the great healer. You know that when Jesus goes back, He's going to heal your daughter. You just know it's going to happen. Jairus had heard of Jesus. He heard what Jesus could do. And so as they were on the way back, no doubt He was way up here. You ever been up here? When you just know Jesus is going to do this, and then all of a sudden, there's this voice out of nowhere. I find it interesting that the Scripture doesn't give a name to this voice, but yet there's this voice. I want to tell you, there will always be voices that will tell you, why trouble the master any longer? You know, it's a done deal. You're not going to get what you want from Jesus. Your situation is different, and God is not going to help you. No doubt Jairus went way down here. But then the Lord turned to him. Didn't even give him that messenger time for the sound to leave the air before He said, be not afraid, only believe. Have you ever heard that voice? What a voice it is. What a voice. The still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God whispering into your soul, I'm still here. I'm still aware of your situation. I haven't forgotten you. And He said, I just want you to continue to believe. You have believed up to this point. Don't let the delay, don't let the discouraging voices, don't let that stop you from continuing to believe. Brethren, I want to tell you now, there's a great lesson there. There's a great lesson. God has some great things in store for His children. And many times it's because of the delays, that during the delays, we don't allow God to complete what He wants to complete in our lives and we turn away. Many times it's the voices of discouragement that say, you know what, this is not going to happen. And so we lose faith. And I'm just so thankful that as we read there, that Jairus followed Jesus to his house. Remember how Jesus took over when we studied that? Last week we talked about how this widow of Nain was leaving town and she was leaving the funeral procession of her only son, Luke chapter number 7. And how that here was a young man, the Bible calls him. Here was a young man. Jesus, when He addressed him, called him young man. And he was already dead. Now, Jairus' daughter, she was just sick when Jairus sent for him. But here's a young man that was already dead. He was in the bier. They were traveling out to the cemetery. And Jesus and a group of people met him. What a meeting that must have been. What a meeting. Do you remember what he said to that woman? Weep not. It's interesting when you read, and let's just look at it just for a moment. When you read Luke, turn to Luke chapter number 8, if you would. We'll look at Luke 8 first. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke also has an account of Jairus' daughter. And I just know that every word of God is pure. I know that every word of God is in place for a purpose. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And when we look at this, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 8, notice if you would down at verse number 50, it says, when Jesus heard it, he answered him. And what did he hear? If you go back to verse number 49, you'll see that one that come from the ruler's house said, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." And no doubt, when Jairus heard that, his heart sunk, as would yours, as would mine. But the scripture says in verse number 50, "But when Jesus heard it, he answered saying, fear not." Don't you let fear grip your heart and cause you to lose faith. Only believe. Fear will strip us of faith. Brethren, there are life situations that will cause us to fear in such a way. As a matter of fact, fear is a measure of control. It's a way that people and the way that the enemy try to control is through fear. Now we are to never try to control others and their reaction by fear. Now fear is, sometimes it's a natural reaction to things. But here the scripture, Jesus said, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." He said, you need to continue to believe. Don't you let what's happened now, and I'm here to tell you, there's folks in this building that are going through very difficult places in your life. And if you don't get anything else, I pray to God that you will never forget what's happening right here. There's going to be a time where the faith that you have in your heart, that God is at work in your situation, the enemy is going to try to replace it with fear. And there's going to be voices from the outside that are going to be telling you. The voices from the outside cannot be stronger than the voice that is on the inside. You listen to the voice of God's Holy Spirit. You listen to that still small voice that says, fear not. You just keep believing. And by the way, that's what this means. It's a continuous action. He said, believe only. In other words, keep believing. This fear has just come. But he said, you keep believing. Don't you let fear replace your faith. And I pray that someone under the sound of my voice this morning, that you would not allow fear to replace the faith that God wants you to have, that he is at work in your situation. Don't let the delay cause you to believe that that is a denial. God's delays are not necessary denials, brethren. Now I want you to go back to chapter number 7 of Luke. We saw this situation, and verse number 11 begins, the widow of Nain, and the Bible says that her only son, in verse number 12, she was taken out to the burial field. What a sad situation. And the Bible says in verse number 13, and when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. I'm glad they just got through singing, "Oh, what a Savior." What a compassionate Savior we have. He saw her and then he spoke to her. I'm just thankful that God doesn't leave us in these moments alone. Sometimes we, as humans, feel like we've got to say something. I want to tell you something. If you're saved, don't you feel like you always have to say something? If you're talking to someone that is saved, they've got someone telling them something. They have someone on the inside telling them, fear not. Not only that, but look at this in verse number 13. Weep not. Weep not. And so the same voice that spoke in one situation that said, fear not, is here saying, weep not. I just find that interesting that the voice of God is speaking to these people during these trying situations in their life. Can I ask you a question? Do you hear his voice? See, God is speaking. There's a loud world out there. When you read this account here and you go back to the time of Jairus, you'll find there's voices everywhere speaking. There's a voice coming from the master's house. There's the voices from the throngs of the people. There's the voices. There's the wailing and the crying and the mourners that were paid mourners. They were just performing. But yet there's a still small voice that whispers peace in our soul. If we'll just listen, God is still speaking. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear his voice? There's voices everywhere trying to get our minds and our hearts and our attention. But I pray to God that we would be tuned into that voice. You know, I've said this before, and you'll know what I'm speaking of. I remember when I was a boy, this is when it was safe to go outside and play in the neighborhood. I remember when I was a boy growing up, that we would all be down playing football or baseball or whatever, you know, we were playing. It was usually just a, you know, we were playing with sticks and rocks, or, you know, we were just, we didn't have all the equipment, but boy, we were having a good time. We felt safe. We felt safe. And all of a sudden, a certain time, there would be this call to come out. Supper's ready. And I could tell, hey, that's my grandma. Hey, man, I didn't have to guess. Who are they calling? Now, sometimes she would call a name. She'd put a name or two in there. Sometimes she'd just say, "Boys, boys, get home. It's supper time." I didn't have to say, "Was that your mom? Was that your grandma?" I knew that voice. I didn't have to see the face. Listen, that was a familiar voice. Is his voice familiar to you? I pray to God that it is. It can be. It should be. Especially in these times. It should be. I want to encourage you, listen for his voice. God is speaking. God is speaking in times like these. And he said, fear not. Then he said, weep not. Someone has said, and I like this, if you'll go back and look down at verse number 13 of chapter 7 of the Gospel of Luke, it says that when he saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Someone said he extended his heart in verse number 13 to this widow. And then in verse number 14, he extended his hand. It came and he touched the bier. He extended his heart in verse number 13. He extended his hand. Can I tell you, God does that for us too. See, God will extend his care. He'll extend his heart. But then he'll take action. He'll take action. And he'll extend his hand and do something about our situation. Now, as we shall see here in just a moment, it may not be what we are looking for God to do. It may not be that. But God is going to do what's best. See, sometimes we think we know what's best. Sometimes I think I know what's best for me. But I don't always know what's best for me. Actually, I don't know that I ever know what's best for me. God knows what's best for me. I need to seek God's will. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Right, brethren? We trust God. You don't want to trust your understanding. You don't want to trust what you know about it. You don't want to trust what you've figured out, what you've researched about it. We want to trust what God says about it. We want to trust his heart, not our heart. Right? And so he says here, he said, young man, in verse number 14, I say unto thee, arise. I like what verse number 14 says before that. It says, and they that bare him stood still. I tell you, when God gets involved, there's some standing still going to take place. When God comes on the scene in our situation, there's some people going to stand still and take notice of what's getting ready to happen. Amen. That's why it's very important that we understand that our trials are not just about us. That our situations in life not only involve us. God uses these things that he allows into our life. And I'm building to something here, okay? Because I believe that every one of these resurrection incidences go back to the glory of God and the power of Jesus Christ. And so if I'm not careful, I will go through life and I will think life's about me. Every situation's about me. That the things that come into my life for me only. But it is obvious throughout the scripture, but in particular in these situations, that God is working in the peripheral. He's working for those around to watch what's happening in the lives of the individuals that are honed in and zeroed in on. It's that way in our lives too. And so please don't you ever forget that now. Don't you ever forget that what you may construe as, well, you know what, God doesn't love me, or why am I going through this, or if God loved me, he wouldn't allow this in my life, is really just the exact opposite. God is allowing these things because he does love you. God is delaying because he has something greater in store for you. In both situations, God delayed, and as we shall see, even in the third situation, Jesus delayed, and it came out to the greater good for that person who was waiting. That's why the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't like waiting. How about you? I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting. But God needs to teach us what it is to wait. God wants to teach us what it is to be patient. I'm glad God is patient, aren't you? See, God is patient. Now, I want you to go back to John chapter number 11. Before we get into the meat of the message, I wonder if there's somebody here. I just felt impressed when I was praying that maybe today, and we're not going to take a host, this is not testimony time, but it may be that somebody, God has done something specifically where he wanted you to wait. Maybe you didn't understand during the wait. I'm just sure that Jairus didn't. I'm sure the widow of Nain was wondering. And as we read this, I'm 100% sure that Mary and Martha, as a matter of fact, if you look at John 11, just for a moment, John 11, look down if you would. In verse number 24, John saith unto him, go back to verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. You see that in John 11, 21? If you'd have got here sooner, I wouldn't be going through this. We wouldn't be in this situation. If you'd have just acted sooner. Look at verse number 32. That was Martha speaking. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now, there's not a doubt in my mind that Mary and Martha had been having some conversation. They said the exact same thing. Where is he at? We sent for him. Why is he not here? They had this special relationship with Jesus, and though they loved him and though he loved them, they could not understand, why is this happening? But God had a greater purpose. I wonder if there's somebody here that stands and say, you know what, preacher? God has done this in my life. I cannot tell you. I'm not going to testify except for to say this. Over and over again in my wife and I's life, I'm telling you right now, there have been things that happen that I'd scratch my head and say, why in the world is this going on? Only to be able to stand before you as God is our witness and look back and say, God delivered every time. Amen. And every time that I began to doubt because of the delay, God has something greater in store for me. And I found out that it wasn't just about me. I've seen how it impacted the lives of others and how that God used those situations to impact other people's lives. Anyone else like that? That would stand and share it with our church family this morning. If you don't have anything, that's fine. We'll move on. But if you do, I think that it would be honoring to God to say, you know what, Pastor, this is something, and whatever God's laid on your heart. Anyone? All right, brother in the back here. Speak loudly and clearly, please. Amen. 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 Brother Lee, I tell you what. Brother, would you be our mic man? You are our mic man. Not would you be. Yeah. You are our mic man. Don't you let anyone take that job. We're just going to take a few, just a couple of minutes. You see, I'm going to tell you what, when the scripture comes alive, it's when it changes your life. When you experience, when the teaching becomes an experience. It's one thing to hear it with your ear, but when you experience it in your life, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Brother Lee?
When I turned about 17, 18, I moved away from home and moved to Texas, got a girlfriend. I knew about a year later, I gave my life to missions and had nothing but problems with my relationship, and it ended up not working out, and I prayed about it and prayed about it. And when I was 23, decided to go to college and finish out my degree. And the first day of college, I met Katie. And probably the second sentence out of her mouth was, "I'm going to be a missionary with or without a man." And she was very confident about it. And I had been praying for years for the Lord to bring me somebody that would be as devoted to missions as I was going to be. And relationships never worked out. They find out I'm going to be a missionary. They don't want to leave mom and dad. But found Katie on the first day of college, and the rest is history. And
amen.
Now we get married later this year and go on to the mission field after that. So
amen.
It's been a blessing.
Amen.
Just learning to wait is
amen.
Hard. I prayed for patience in the beginning of my semester, and it's been rough. He's definitely tried my patience and taught me more patience, but just learning to wait's been the hardest thing. But every time I do wait, I see things just work out all on their own, and he's always been right there for me.
Amen, Lee. That's good, young man. I like to hear that. Anyone else? Anyone else? We have time maybe for one more, if there's anyone else. If not, we're going to move on. I'm going to give you some thoughts of this John chapter number 11. I appreciate these two individuals. Yes, right here. Right here.
I have one, Pastor. I talk all the time, so I'm blessed.
No, that, brother, I want people to mind the Holy Spirit, and I know you will.
Amen. God called me to preach not long after I was married and put a desire in my heart just to serve God. And my father-in-law was my first pastor, and I remember him making a statement that in between pastorates, he pastored a few churches. He spent, I think, a span of maybe 18 months one time without pastoring, and I mean, to hear him talk about that period of 18 months was one of the most difficult in his life. I began pastoring a church not long after that myself, as a 22-year-old young man with a lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom or experience, and pastored for 5 years, and then the Lord opened a door for me to move up here. And, of course, that meant resigning full-time ministry and coming up here, getting a job, and I wanted to learn about ministry. I wanted to get training, but God had put a burning desire in my heart to preach his word, to minister to young people, to train young people, and I didn't know how that would all play out, but I just knew what I wanted. And I remember you told me, commit to stay at least 3 years here, and maybe God will begin to clarify some things. And you know, all during that 3 years, I got a job here and worked, and I won't go into the details, but there were many things about the job that I worked was very difficult. And many times I wondered, you know, what is God doing? Am I ever going to be in ministry again? And several things I considered and thought that God may be leading one way or another. Well, 9 years later, after my move to Virginia, we moved here in 2012, but in 2021, God opened the door for me to be at FBA. And it was something I never thought I'd do before. It's something I didn't think a God-called preacher would do. I thought that's just for school people, you know, school administrator. But God began to make it very real to me that it would fulfill the desire that he gave me to invest and train young people. And, you know, I had opportunities within that 9 years to go a couple different directions. But I'm so glad I waited. And it's been very fulfilling. And I trust that testimony to be encouragement to someone.
Amen.
You know, sometimes God puts us in place and we don't know what he's doing. And it's very easy to make bad decisions. But I'm so glad I waited on God's timing. pray. I just want to praise the Lord for his working in my life.
Amen. Amen. There was a man who said one time, we can't always trace God's hand, what he's doing, but we can always trust God's heart. I'm going to say that again. We can't always trace God's hand. Sometimes I don't know what God is doing. But I know that God has my best interest in mind. I can trust him. I can trust his heart. God loves us. And he has our best interest in mind. Did you know it would change the way you live your Christian life if you can get that down? Just because you don't understand what's going on, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God's forgotten you. It doesn't mean that God is no longer working in your life. You can always trust his heart. Thank you. You can put the mic up. Thank you for sharing that. John chapter number 11. I have a few truths that I want to share with you. I'm going to be here for 2 weeks in John 11. Next week, of course, will be Easter. We'll get to the resurrection portion or part of this passage of Scripture. Today, I want to give you some lessons that I think that are being taught here out of John 11 to a family that Jesus cared very dearly about. I want you to find out what's happening here. I'm going to give you a little bit of an intro and a little backdrop, and then I'm going to give you about three or four lessons that I hope you'll take home, and these principles will become a part of the way that you enter into and pass through the trials of life. Now, every one of us are going to go through trials, okay? You say, well, not me, preacher. Yes, you are, too. Every person sitting under the sound of my voice is going to go through trials in life. Some suffering. Some sorrow. Some hardship. Amen. And I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying it so you will understand and maybe get some knowledge on how do I approach these things, Pastor? How do I approach these things? If we're not careful, what we will do is we'll look to men, though we will say, you know what, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. We will say God is the answer. God is the protector. God is the provider. God is my resource. God is my buckler. God is my shield. God is, he's all that I need. But yet when we go through trouble, we'll turn to man and we'll start wanting help from people with limited resources. And I thank God for comforters. Don't misunderstand me. I thank God for counselors. I thank God for people that God put in the pathway of our lives. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. It's a blessing. But that's not who God wants us to turn to first. God will bring those people in our lives. I want you to look back at John chapter number 10 and verse number 39. Jesus had been working in the midst. He had been teaching about the good shepherd and why he was sent here to this earth. And when he got through, the Bible says in verse number 39 of John chapter 10, therefore they, meaning the scribes and the Pharisees, that religious crowd, that, I mean, they did not want to hear Jesus say that he and the Father are one. And that's what he said in John chapter number 10. You know that passage, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And he begins to talk about no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And they got really upset, and they said, hey, wait a minute now. You're blaspheming. You're saying that you are God, and that's blasphemy. And they took up stones to stone him. And so that's where we pick up in verse number 39. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. He was in Judea. He was there around Jerusalem. And he went outside of that area, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Now, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. Now, you know, just by that introduction right there, you know that this is a prominent family. You know that John, who is the human author of this gospel, This family of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, were well known among believers. Historians tell us that Jesus oftentimes stopped by this residence for refreshing. As a matter of fact, chapter 12 opens up that way. Look at chapter 12 of John. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, I like that, amen, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And it talks about Mary taking the pound of ointment. And so here's Jesus in their home, and he felt, I think, a warm welcome, and he felt relaxed there. He had a relationship with this family. But the Bible, as we go back to chapter 11, says that Jesus was sent for. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. After it says that Lazarus, in the last part of verse number 2, was sick, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, I want you to just notice the way that's worded. Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Not, Lord, you know how much we love you. Lord, you know how Lazarus just takes on after you. You know how much we entertain you, and you know how much we care about you. It has nothing to do with their merit. It has nothing to do with their love toward the Lord. It has everything to do with them knowing his love toward them. Now, I'm going to teach you something about trials right here. Okay, I'm going to teach you something about suffering. Now, just so you'll know that this is not the only time this is said, throughout this chapter it's repeated. Drop down if you would. Well, you could actually go back to verse number 2. It says, it was there that Mary anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Listen, had the Lord not had a special feel for this lady, that would not have taken place. All right? You understand that? There's no way that the Lord would have allowed this to happen had this lady not had a special place in his life. She worshiped him. She adored him. And he allowed it. Why? Because she held a special place in his life. I'm going to say more about that next week. You ought to worship him. I ought to worship him. We ought to adore him. Why? Because we hold a special place in his life. It's not about us. When our worship becomes about us, it ceases to be worship. It must be about him. And so here the scripture says in verse number 3, his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Drop down if you would in verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. Here it is again. It's talking about how Jesus loves them. There's a reason that the Spirit of God said, John, I want you to write this. I want you to write this. I want you to just drive home this fact that I love this family. Because there's a truth that God wants us to understand. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. Verse number 11. Jesus said in verse number 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. So he's referring to him as a filial, a brotherly love. I have a brotherly love for that man, that our friend Lazarus. Look, if you would, in verse number 36. Even the people that were around in verse number 36 exclaimed with exclamation, the Jewish people who had very little use for Jesus, and as we shall see next week, they even wanted to kill Lazarus. They didn't have a whole lot of use for him, but they understood one thing. Look, if you would, in verse number 36. Behold how he loved him. Amen. I mean, there was just something about this family that people knew. Jesus loves that family. I wonder if people know that about me. I wonder if my actions, if my lifestyle, if the way I carry my life, if the way I carry on and go through my life, if people say, you know what? Not that man loves God, but God loves that man. See, that's where it's at, brother. That's where it's at. It's not, you know, see, when I talk about my love for God, that kind of fosters pride. You know, that if I'm not careful, somebody might mistake that and misconstrue that as me saying, well, you know, that makes me something more than you. I love God, and what they're hearing may be more than you. But when we talk about God's love for us, that's not pride, that's humility. Because we know that God knows all about us, and still he loves us the way that he does. So here's Here's lesson number one about suffering. God will allow those he loves to experience suffering. I want you to write that down large in your heart with big block letters. Because somehow we've gotten to the place in our society that we feel like, you know what? If God loves somebody, he won't allow them to suffer. Don't we hear it all the time, brethren? Don't we hear it all the time? Why does God allow the suffering? Why does God allow this? Why does God allow that? It's because people have such a low view of God. It's because people's minds are so limited. It's because our ways are not his ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so as I read through this, I saw the Spirit of God said, I want you to know Jesus loved these people. And yet he done something on purpose. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. Right after he said again, and it's almost like the Spirit of God said to John, I want you to write this again, that Jesus really loves his family. Look at verse number 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, and I like this word, still, in the same place where he was. You see that in John 11, verse 6? He just stayed where he was for 2 more days. Didn't get in a hurry. He knew he had a greater purpose in mind for this family. He loved them. He had their best interest in mind. I hope that you see this morning. There's an enemy out there that'll tell you, well, you know what? God doesn't love you. If God loved you, and they'll start, just fill in the blank, right? Just fill in the blank. He wouldn't do this. He wouldn't do that. Listen, I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word, God does love you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. And because God loves you, not because it's the exact opposite from what the enemy would have us to believe. It's not because God doesn't love us that he allows the delays, that he allows things to be different, that he allows the suffering. It's because God does love us. He has something bigger and better. But we'll never see it until we start getting these things down. Okay, you have to, number one, you have to understand God loves me. And I'll get to this in just a moment, but I never measure God's love by my suffering. I measure my suffering by God's love. And then we'll maybe get to that before the end of the message. But we need God to help us to get these truths or the least little bit of suffering, the least little bit of setback or trial or hardship or sorrow, and we will begin to doubt. And when doubt is present, fear is getting ready to come in. Amen. And when fear comes in, faith flees. And when faith flees, God cannot work. And when God cannot work, we're in a terrible shape. We're in a terrible shape. It's a mess. And so the first thing that I want you to see is that the Lord allows those that he loves to experience suffering, trials, hardships. He loves us, but he does allow these things. And so don't you let the outside voices tell you now, well, now if God loved you so much, why is he allowing you to go through that? I hear the heat running. Is it just me or is it hot in here? Brother Greg, would you check our temperature? Thank you. All right. So obviously, the record wants us to see that God loves these people. That obviously, this intentional waiting and delayed allowed a moment of sorrow and suffering. Even the sister said, had you been here? Had you been here? Right? Our brother had not died. And there's always going to be that. There's always going to be those voices. There's always going to be that thought. You know what? If God would have just moved sooner, this would not have happened. But it's just not so. God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. Do you think, again, look down at verse number 6. Do you think that Jesus, in verse number 6, could not, right when he heard the news, had taken off there, but he knew. He knew Lazarus was going to die. He actually come right and said it in verse number 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, look at verse number 14, Lazarus is dead. All right? The disciples were saying, well, you know, well, this and that. And we're going back. And he said, now listen, You don't understand spiritual things. Jesus tried to teach them a spiritual lesson. He said, our friend Lazarus in verse number 11 sleepeth. And they said, well, you know what? It's probably good that he's sleeping. It would do him well to get some sleep in his sickness. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. There's hardship, there's heartache, there's trial, there's suffering. But we're here. And I'm not in that situation. And there's a reason I'm not in that situation. So number one, write it down. God allows those that he loves to experience suffering. There's people in this building experiencing suffering. You've been experiencing it for some time and you're thinking, you know, what's going on? Well, that's number two. Number two, write it down. We cannot always know the why of our suffering. You can't always know why. Because it's bigger than us. There's things that happen in my life that may not, listen, it may not impact until I'm gone. There's things that are that happen in folks' lives, they've been gone for years, and now it's beginning to impact. See, God sees the big picture. We just see what's right in front of us. Amen. We get so concerned about us, our healing, our job, our finances, our house, our cars. Hey, listen, God has greater things in store than those material things and those physical things. I want to show you what God told these people here. Notice if you would in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. You say, but he did die. He said that. What he's saying is, this is not, don't, the disciples no doubt were saying, hey, we need to pack on and move on. He said, oh, just relax. I've got a purpose here. Don't get in a hurry. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. See, God allows things for this right here. And the reason that so few of us can hone in on this is because so few of us are really concerned about this. Most of us, and I'm not fussing at you now, I'm just saying we need to change our mindset. Most of us are fixated on us, on our situation, on our life, on our things. And so we've lost sight that God has, listen, the chief purpose of man is to glorify God. Is that right, church? Yes. Somehow we've brought God down from his lofty position as sitting on the throne in heaven, and we've made him like a magic genie in a bottle. And we, God do this, God do that, God, and when God doesn't do it, we get angry. Some people quit praying. Some people quit reading their Bible. How do you respond when God doesn't do things the way that you expect him to? Think about that for a moment. You get angry? Or do you say, you know what, I trust God's timing. I trust God's timing. Hey, that's difficult. I'm going to be transparent with you. God's still working on me in this area. I don't in any way want to lead somebody that's watching or that's here this morning to think, well, you know what, the pastor's got all that waiting thing down. No, he doesn't either. Delays still kind of shake me. And so we don't always know why, but I will tell you this, we can know this right here. We may not know specifically why, but God has our best interest in mind, and when we will allow God to work, it will be for his glory. Amen. Amen. And God has some things he wants to teach us. I'm not going to go through this, but God taught these people a lot here. He taught these sisters a lot. He taught his disciples a lot. It was, notice if you would in verse number 15. Jesus said, you know, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there. There's a purpose for me not being there. And he said, I have some things I want to teach. I have some things that people need to see and people need to hear. And he said, that's why I waited back. They didn't understand. The disciples didn't understand. They thought it was because Jesus had just been run out of town. And they said, you know, we're going to go back and boy, we're going to be sitting ducks. As a matter of fact, notice what Thomas said. Thomas is something else. He said, you know what? He said, let us go on. that we will die. He said, verse number 13, the disciples in verse number 13, or 16, I'm sorry, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They're going to get him this time. They took up stones to get him last time. We got out of town just in the nick of time. He escaped them. But now he's wanting to go back there. See, they thought he didn't go because he was trying to make his life a little longer. We have such a low view of God. We have such a shallow understanding of spiritual things. We just do. And God said, I want to teach you some things. And so we don't know why, but maybe we should ask this instead of ask why what. I wrote this down. What can I learn? Jesus said in verse number 15, he said, I want to teach some things here. What can I learn? How can this bring glory to God? You think this brought glory to God? Can I just show you? And there's much more in here, but I want to show you a couple of things. Notice if you would. Now, Jesus dealt with these ladies, and he really increased their faith. But notice what the scripture says here. And I pray that you would look at this. The scripture says in verse number 40, when he got there, he said, take me to him. They went there to the tomb. And the scripture says that when they got to the tomb, that Martha said, I don't think this is a good idea. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. She said, I don't think this is a good idea, Jesus. He's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. The decomposition has set in. We can't roll away this stone. It's going to be just a disaster. We're going to see stuff that's going to be graphic, and I just don't think it's a good idea. And you know, I've done that before. Perhaps you have too. When God said, no, we're not going to do it the way you thought it was going to happen. We're going to do it this way. And I'm thinking, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea now. I mean, this could really turn into a disaster here. Notice what Jesus said. Verse number 40, he said unto her, said not I unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. He didn't say, you know what, if you'll believe, I'm going to heal, I'm going to raise your brother. There's something greater than that. I hope you'll get this morning. We get so caught up in what we want and how we want it. And Jesus said, no, I want you to get concerned about the glory of God. When we get concerned about the glory of God, things will pick up in our lives. When we can say, not my will, but thy will be done, and mean it, brother, and mean it, things will begin to pick up in our lives. But we have become so fixated on our will that somehow we try to make God's will our will instead of our will God's will. You see that? Am I the only person that struggles with this, or y'all got this down? All right? So number one, I'm going to give you one more truth and then we'll be done. Number one, Jesus does allow those whom he loves to go through suffering. And so if you're here this morning and you're suffering, and I know that there's some that are, maybe many that are, I just want you to know that it doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love you. It's very, very possible, if not probable, it is a sign that Jesus does love you. And not that we need a sign, because the Bible says he does, so he does. But I'm glad for the proof that God gives through his action in my life, that he will show me over and over again that he loves me. And many times it's not by some of the things that I'm looking for to see the proof of his love. It's for things just like we've been talking about in these passages of Scripture. Number two, we can't always know the why. Remember John chapter 9? Turn back there just for a moment. John chapter 9, Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That God can do something that's going to bring glory to his name. Does that shock you? That God would allow someone to be born blind, does it? Well, then get ready for this. There was a man by the name of Job who God allowed all of his children to be wiped out, his health, his material belongings. He allowed all of this, and one day lost them all, lost it all, brethren, Lost it all. So if a man being born blind is going to be used to bring glory to God, try Job on for signs. Right? You say, well, preacher, how did that end? You know how it ended. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I didn't deserve anything I had. Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I leave. Everything I had, God gave me. I don't want to get to the place because I'm prosperous and I'm in good health and things are going good for me that somehow I earned that or I deserve that. But yet God is so good to us sometimes that if we're not careful, we'll get to the place where we say, I deserve this. And when God does something different than what we think we deserve, then we begin to question. God says no, no, 1,000 times no. Let me work in your life. I have something greater for you. I have something bigger for you. I think about the Apostle Paul and how that Paul went through all the sufferings in life and how that Paul went through all that he went through. He was beaten and you know the scripture, how that he was shipwrecked and how he was beaten, drug outside the city of Lystra for dead, and how he encountered all that suffering in his life. You say, well, it must have really depressed old Paul. Yeah, so much that he said, I am so thankful. You're looking at an apostle that has no regrets, amen. No regrets. I'm checking out of here saying I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, praise God. God has been good to me. I am what I am by the grace of God. God's grace, brethren. See, Paul didn't get to the place in his life where he felt like he deserved something and that it was all, you know, just name it and claim it and all that stuff. No, no. Paul said, I want God's will to be done. And if God's will being done is me going through a vice, me going through a hard time, so be it. Because I trust him. I trust him as my loving Heavenly Father. I know he loves me and he has my best interest in mind. Well, there's some other things I could say, but I want to close with this, all right? We'll pick up here next week. I want you to write this down. So number one, we said the Lord allows those that he loves to experience suffering. And so if you're suffering today, I want you to know that if you're God's child, you need to look for a greater purpose. If God is delayed in what he is doing, there's a reason God is doing what he's doing. God just doesn't do things to be doing things. God does things in our lives intentionally and on purpose. We get that from, as we go back to John chapter 11, we get that from verse number 4. If we can't see that, or verse number 6, I'm sorry, then I don't know anything else to tell you. Jesus stayed there on purpose. He stayed there still because he had something greater for these folks. He wanted them to see the glory of God. All right? Number 2. We cannot always know the why of our suffering. Maybe it's what can I learn? Would you stop instead of asking why? Would you allow God to help you as I allow God to help me instead of asking why me, why now, why this? And start saying, God, what can I learn? And read through this week and see all that God taught them. Jesus taught great lessons in this account. Or how can this be used to bring glory to God? When I'm going through suffering, when you're going through suffering, would you ask that question? How can this be used to bring glory to God? Not how can this be used to get me in a better place? Or no. No, God uses suffering in our life to bring him glory. But you know what? He also uses suffering for we can help people. Is that what the scripture teaches? He's the God of all comfort who will comfort us in our troubles so that we will be able to comfort others in their tribulation. That's 2 Corinthians 1:4. All right. Final thing. Regardless of what you're going through and regardless of how you feel about what you're going through, aren't you glad you can always take your troubles to Jesus? Aren't you glad for that? The scripture says in verses 1 through 11, and I won't go through it again. 1 through 3, I'm sorry. The scripture says that they sent message to Jesus. And they said, we want you to know that the person you love is sick. They could take it to him. And when Jesus didn't do, this is strong right here. Don't lose me now. Don't get through before I do. When Jesus didn't come through and their brother had died, I want you to watch what Martha and Mary both did. I want this kind of faith. I do. God help me. This is where I want to be in my life. So Jesus didn't come through. Their brother had died. The word had come. In verse number 20, Martha had heard that Jesus was coming. And she stomped her feet and said, well, it's too late now. He should have been here a long time ago. I'm through with Jesus. Is that what she said? You know what she did? She went out to meet him. She went out to meet him. She didn't say, I don't want to see him. You know, if he couldn't have been here when I wanted him to be here, why is he showing up now? She went, and she simply just let her heart be known to him. And she said, if you'll look at verse number 20, she went, and she said in verse number 21, Lord, if thou wouldst have been here, my brother had not died. But, amen, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Well, I tell you right now, when God tells you to wait, and when something happens that you don't want to happen, happens, and you can have this kind of response, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. Have you made it there yet? God help me to get there. God help me to get there. Notice if you would in verse number 32, and this is where we'll close this morning. Mary went out by herself, and then Martha went out by herself, and when Martha got through, she went back and told Mary, and instead of Mary saying, well, you know what, I'm angry and all that, nope. Notice what Mary did, verse number 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She worshipped him. She worshipped him. She fell down at his feet and said, Lord, I still adore you. You did not get here when I would have wished you would have. And you did not do what I wished you would have done. But I still love you. And I still trust you. And I still want to worship you. See the lessons that are taught. See how God is growing these people's faith. And it goes even further than this, if you could imagine that. It does. And so I pray that when we go through trials, and we're all going through trials. Listen, I go through trials. You're going through trials. Some of you are going through trials right now. Right now. You've had deaths in your family. Your health is failing. Some people have financial woes. Some people have physical situations. Some people are in spiritual warfare. And it seems like that you're struggling to get back to that place where you know you need to be spiritually. You know that's where you need to be. And you're making effort, but it just seems like you take one step forward, get knocked two steps back. What can I do, Pastor? What can I do? Well, the first thing you need to remember that despite these things, it doesn't change God's love for you. God loves you. Don't weigh God's love by your suffering. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let's stand to our feet. See, some of you are going through things that it can be seen. We know about deaths in the family. We know about surgeries. And we know about hardships. And we know about children, grandchildren. We know things that can be seen. But this morning, I want to talk to somebody maybe also that you're going through things that nobody knows about.